Bubba Wallace here from 2311 Racing. You know what's slower than a pace car? Waiting at the car wash. That's when I fire up Chumba Casino. It turns those slow minutes into fast fun. With new games every week, you'll never get bored. Next time you're stuck in the slow lane, speed up with Chumba. Play now at ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
Sponsored by Chumba Casino. No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
And welcome in to the Tuesday edition, Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5, 106.3 The Game. Robbie Stanley, Joe Rex Road, Nick Kieser here with you. Hope everybody's off to a wonderful start this morning. Joe Rex Road, good morning. How are you?
Good morning, Carlos, but doing okay.
Well, you know, maybe it's time for a horse and buggy. Time to get back to olden days out there, were you?
Ask John Glennon. He's come out here, picked me up, and he, you know, he thought everybody out here did use horse and buggy.
Well, there is that. Keezer, how we doing? What's going on?
Yeah, good morning, Joe. What's the story, man? Why do you not have a car?
We got a doctor's appointment, and we got a student council going to school like an hour early.
Oh,
so we have two different places that those two cars that we have need to be. And of course, we have another car that's in East Lansing. So
yes. Yes.
That's my story.
Joe stranded at home, not able to get out today. Take your at-home remedies for Rex Road on the text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, 615-737-1025. We got a lot to get to on the program today. Mike Wilson will be with us at 7 o'clock from the Knoxville News Sentinel. We'll get his thoughts on Tennessee's big win against Alabama and what this could now mean for the Vols. Looking ahead to the NCAA tournament, Bruce Feldman from The Athletic will be with us at 8:30. We'll get into the quarterbacks in the NFL draft and some other takeaways that he had from conversations at the NFL Combine as well. So that's coming up later in the program at 8:30. Looking forward to that. Taking your thoughts in the meantime, 615-737-1025 is our phone number, 615-737-1025. So Joe Rex Road, we have almost made it to the busy part of the NFL offseason. We're seeing some moves that are already starting in terms of decisions that teams are making about the franchise tag. Today is the franchise tag deadline. It is at 3 o'clock Central Time today. And coming out last night, not that this at this point, Joe, I guess is a huge surprise, but Sam Darnold will not be tagged. Sam Darnold will be a free agent, and the Vikings apparently still hopeful to work out a deal of some kind with Sam Darnold, but they will not be placing the franchise tag on him. So Darnold is going to be a free agent unless there's a deal that he comes to very shortly with the Minnesota Vikings. Joe, your thoughts on that and what that now means for both Darnold and the quarterback market this offseason?
Well, what does it mean for like conversation and like innuendo about excitement? Other shows on this station is what I would like to know. My gosh, everybody, just get some cold water, get an ice bath ready. But seriously, look, I think it's a worthwhile pursuit for the Titans. I do, not that I think Sam Darnold is going to be a, you know, like a great quarterback, or but I think that he definitely showed a lot last year, enough to get a starting crack at a place like this, and I'll be very interested to see what the market is for him. I think the Titans should absolutely be in on it, and I think that others will be, and then, you know, we'll see the different pros and cons that he sees in those situations. But again, I wouldn't use one on a quarterback in this draft. I don't think there's a quarterback in this draft that is worth the one. And I think that could be just another thing that sets you back. And I understand there's a growing sentiment for Cam Ward, and I understand it. But I think if the Titans could get Sam Darnold and then address all those other needs, I think that'd be the best case scenario for them. And especially, you know, the best case is that, and then you're able to trade down to the Giants, still get one of those, you know, to me, still get Travis Hunter potentially and get more picks. I mean, that's a kind of a dream offseason to me.
Well, I kind of look at this, and Joe, I just wonder if you're Minnesota, like the reporting out there is that he's not going to get franchise tagged, and yet Minnesota is going to try to continue to work out a deal with him. Well, those two things to me, Joe, like don't really add up all that much. Like, are you signing Darnold to a 3 or 4 year deal if you're Minnesota? I have my doubts about that with J.J. McCarthy waiting in the wings. And is Sam Darnold going to get anything less than like a 3 year deal on the open market? I have my doubts about that too. So it kind of feels like this is Minnesota's decision of saying without saying, hey, yeah, we'll attempt to quote unquote negotiate a deal with you if it's on our terms for like a year or two with an out after one and the finances are right. But I think if he gets to the open market, which he's going to at this point, I don't know why Minnesota would match that, what other teams could potentially offer for 3 or 4 years when they do have J.J. McCarthy in the wing. So it kind of feels like the Minnesota part of this is over to me for Darnold.
Yeah. I mean, I think – I mean, it's. I mean, maybe some of this is partially doing him a solid, you know, and it's kind of like go see, you know. Now, what I would also say to him is just remember – you know, you do 2 more years with us, and you may at some point, JJ may get into the starting job, but you also played your best football by far with everything we have, including Kevin O'Connell, including Justin Jefferson. So you do another short thing with us, then you get another bite at the apple, and you prove yourself further. If you prove you're not a one-hit wonder, and then you can go out there, and by then, JJ will be ready, and you'll be ready for a bigger payday. I mean, that's what I would say to him, you know, that's, I mean, if I'm his agent, I would at least be thinking about, okay, you know, just because it's so working so well here right now, you know, could that potentially set you up for a bigger payoff in 2 years? But I'm with you. I mean, I think that there's going to be teams right now that are willing to give him, you know, like a 4 year deal. And, you know, again, what really matters in NFL contracts is the guaranteed money number. You know, and I'm sure probably more than what he's looking at with the Vikings. How much more? That's what's really interesting. Is there a huge deal for him out there? Is that what it would take for the Titans to get him? You know, do the Titans, how much is the Titans tax just for being, you know, a bad team, for being the worst team in the league? How much of a tax is there on that? You know?
Yeah.
It's going to be really interesting.
It is. Like, I don't know. Like, I guess I understand the idea of doing a player a solid. You know, Sam Darnold came in, by all accounts, did all the right things, was well-liked in that locker room, and played really well for the majority of the season until the last two games. So I understand the idea of, like, trying to do right by a guy. But I guess to me, like, if you're not ready for J.J. McCarthy to be your quarterback, well, there's a pretty easy way to make sure that Sam Darnold's your quarterback next year. You franchise tag him, and there it is. He's your quarterback next year. This tells me, Joe, that I guess they're ready for J.J. McCarthy to be their quarterback. Like, I don't really have any other way to read this right now.
Yeah, no, I agree. I think this absolutely is an endorsement of J.J. McCarthy. Look, I mean, he did look really good in the preseason. I think Kevin O'Connell's got pretty good instincts when it comes to quarterbacks. And you know, the last two games were brutal for Darnold. I mean, there's no way around it. And he did not. He shrunk in those moments. I mean, I just, you know, it wasn't all on him, but he was bad. And so maybe, you know, like internally, it's like, look, JJ, that knee's strong. And like he picks up where he left off. He was about to take Darnold's job in 6 weeks anyway. That's what I think they probably thought. Now, again, that was the mindset, I think, of the league last year, that Darnold's a placeholder.
Yes.
But then Darnold played the way he did, you know? And that's where it's interesting, is like, you can't deny that Darnold was excellent many, many weeks of last season.
No doubt. And now that we know that the tag's not coming for him, how does that influence the rest of the market? Like, we talked yesterday about the Raiders and the Giants and where they have to pivot now that Stafford's back with the Rams. Like, is that a pivot in the draft and they make an aggressive push towards the top for a Cam Ward or Shedeur Sanders? You know, there's the Aaron Rodgers stuff that's going on and the connections being made to the Giants. Well, does the Darnold news affect that? And to your point, how do the Titans fit into this whole thing? Number one, is there interest that the Titans have? in Sam Darnold? And number two, how much money are they willing to give him? Like, what's it going to cost? What kind of deal are you going to have to give up to go get Sam Darnold for him to look at your team, where you're at with your roster, and say, yeah, that's the place I want to be? I don't know what the answer to that is. Like, I don't know what the answer is in terms of how much the Titans would have to commit to him and for him to be willing to come here. I like, does the last two games that he had in Minnesota, it clearly is detrimental to him with the Vikings. How detrimental to him is that going to be with these other teams once he makes it to free agency?
Yeah, it's a great question. And so, I mean, let's see. If you had a list of the primary suitors, you know, for Darnold, I mean, that's like the Giants. I mean, anybody who's QB needy to me would have to be considered a, you know.
Yeah, like I still keep wondering what in the world Raiders, the Steelers are going to do. Yeah.
What are the Steelers doing? What are the Raiders doing? Of course, the Giants. Who are we forgetting? There's somebody.
Well,
I guess that's kind of the main list.
The
right?
Main list. I mean, what's Cleveland going to do at quarterback? They've already got a ton of money tied up there. So, you know, there's people that think they may take one in the draft. We'll see. But I guess you could throw them in the list if you wanted to.
New Orleans.
It looks like Carr's coming
supposedly
back.
Supposedly Carr's coming back. So, you know, but yeah, they would have been. So, you know, like if I'm Darnold, like if you're just from a like team perspective, you know, feeling good about a good situation, about winning. I mean, gosh, none of them. I mean, I guess that's kind of makes sense that none of them are great situations. I mean, I guess I'd be probably most interested in the Steelers. Like, there's a certain, you know, standard there that they still don't go below, and they do kind of at times feel like if they had him playing the way he did last year, what would they have been? Would have been pretty good.
Been pretty good, and in that division where there is pretty darn good quarterback play, say for one team in Cleveland, there. Yeah, I mean, that's what you got to have to compete in that division. Now, you know, I would agree with you. That's probably the best spot in terms of quarterback needy teams. But maybe this, Joe, is just as simple as where can I go get the best deal? I mean, who's going to give me the best deal? Who's going to give me the most money where he cashes in really, you know, on a huge payday for the first time in his career? I mean, it may just come down to that.
Yeah, especially if it's like so far beyond anybody else.
Right.
You know? I mean, I think, you know, I would take some tax off if, like, I was going to the Steelers, you know, personally, just because, you know, I feel like they're certainly more ready to win than these other teams. But yeah, I mean, if somebody wants to make that commitment to him and can sell him on the vision, and look, in this league, again, you can sell. I mean, you can be like, hey, we're a year or two away from being really good. You put you in, all of a sudden, we're a totally different team. You know, you can sell that. You know, are the Titans a team that likes him enough to do that?
Sam Darnold, not tagged by the Minnesota Vikings, looks like he's going to make it to free agency. We'll take your thoughts on that. Should the Titans pursue Sam Darnold if he makes it to free agency? Plus, an interesting piece on the Titans yesterday going through the history of Callahan, Borgonzi, and Brinker, and how that could relate to their draft strategy at number one overall. We'll get into all that coming up next. Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5, 106.3, The Game. Welcome back in, Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5, 106.3, The Game, brought to you by First Horizon, Big Bank Muscle, Small Bank Hustle. Visit firsthorizon.com/get-it-all. We are live from our Busy Bee Plumbing, Heating, and Air Conditioning, Game Nashville Studios, home of the $99 yearly Beehive membership, where the buzz is always about great service. Taking your thoughts on our phone and text lines, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Sam Darnold not expected to be tagged in Minnesota, which would lead to his free agency if the Vikings are not able to come to some sort of other deal before free agency begins here. Ty on the text line saying, why would you not, if you're Minnesota, just tag and then trade him? Maybe you pick up like a third-round pick or something like that. I've always thought, Joe, that was probably the most likely route here, is that he was going to get tagged in Minnesota, and either he would begin next season as the starting quarterback and then we'll see how it goes, or somebody would trade for him at that point. But clearly that is not the way that Minnesota is electing to go here. Again, like, this tells me that they are ready to hard launch the J.J. McCarthy era here, but I guess this is just as simple sometimes, Joe, is doing right by your guy, I guess.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, then he gets to choose. I mean, look, players hate the tag. The NFLPA hates the tag. No, anything the NFLPA hates, PA hates, they negotiated.
Correct.
But, you know, there's way more teams that don't use it in a given year than do. It's kind of like seen as an act of desperation. I mean, if you do that, obviously now he doesn't get to pick where he goes. You know, you're confining him to what you get back. And I understand it's a business. These guys get cut all the time, but yeah, that stuff like that does happen, to let a guy just go out there as opposed to taking some draft capital off him and restricting his choice. And I mean, because if it's not with that in mind, which again, there, now I don't know, I think this can be overrated, but people certainly say it, agents say it, players say it, you know, teams that do things like this get a bad reputation in free agency and things like that. I mean, people definitely said that about Washington and terrible ownership back when Kirk Cousins was their quarterback and they didn't know their ass from their elbow and they tagged him 2 years in a row, you know? But I mean, that's the only thing I can really come up with. Cause yeah, if I'm the Vikings and I'm really ready to move on from him, I'd love to get something back for it, and you could probably get a decent pick.
One thing I've learned this offseason as it relates to Titans fans and quarterback decisions, there's strong opinions on all sides of this, Joe. I mean, George on the YouTube chat says, go sign Sam Darnold. We're not taking a quarterback first overall. And the distinguished gentleman says, so you're going to pay a one-hit wonder $40 million per year? No thanks. Take the young quarterback on the rebuild and use the draft that way. It is all over the map in terms of Titans fans and what they want to do and how they view Sam Darnold, how they view Cam Ward, how they view all these guys.
Yeah, it turns into a great debate. And I think there's valid points on either side. I'm on the side of sign a Darnold just because we've seen Sam Darnold play good football in the NFL. And as far as I know, none of these rookies coming out will ever do that. Maybe they all will. But as far as I know, none of them will. I think a lot of people love the unknown. The unknown is undefeated. We say it all the time. And I understand the idea of, you know, it's a rebuild. So I go grow with a quarterback. But again, my problem is when you have the number one pick, you have to get a great player. I don't think there's a great player at quarterback in this draft.
So to that point, Joe, it was an interesting piece that came out yesterday at SI.com that Albert Breer put together, going through the Titans, the evaluation process for the number one overall pick, which they currently hold, and the history of some of the decision makers in their organization and trying to determine if that's going to give you a clue as to how they could be leaning here. It talks about Brian Callahan with the Bengals and the meeting with Joe Burrow where, I mean, very early into the process, the Bengals knew that Joe Burrow was going to be their pick. And yes, I mean, there was obviously the on-the-field tape stuff at LSU that was the most important part of it. But like Callahan talks in this piece about how like walking in there, listening to Joe Burrow in the meeting and saying, yeah, this is what big-time quarterbacks sound like. And that's the way that obviously the Bengals ended up going. It's worked out extremely well. He talks about Mike Borgonzi and the Chiefs having a number one overall pick. And taking a look at a quarterback class, which we've discussed back in 2013, Joe, that did not look all that great, and making some moves that offseason to attack it differently. They brought in Alex Smith. He played pretty high-level quarterback of them for a long time, was a good quarterback, eventually led to Patrick Mahomes, and Mahomes took over for Alex Smith. But they ended up taking Eric Fisher with their pick, passing on the quarterbacks and looking at the quarterbacks in those drafts. It ended up being the right decision. And one of the things Borgonzi talked about in this article was like, we did not deem any of those guys to be worthy of the number one overall pick at quarterback. And there's similar conversation, depending on who you talk to, about these guys this year. So, number one, interesting piece from Albert Breer. If you haven't read it, go check it out at SI.com. It's interesting stuff. Two, Joe, your takeaways when you read this piece, comments from Brian Callahan, Mike Borgonzi, and is there any sort of insight that you think we can gain from the history of these guys and what that could mean for the Titans when the number one pick rolls around, if they're going to be there for the number one overall pick?
Yeah, I mean, if you apply this to this situation, I guess my question would be, okay, so how did those interviews go? And of course, they're having Cam Ward and Shedeur Sanders in. What, I guess, is it Ward this week?
I believe Ward is Friday and then Sanders is Sunday.
Yeah, so, you know, are they having the same effect? The problem is, even if you even if you have a similar effect, you know, the film on Burrow is different than the film on those guys,
yes.
Right? I mean, like already you're talking about a totally different expectation and feel from a quarterback coming into the league based on the previous college season. You know, again, like the Cam Ward experience was a lot of fun, but it wasn't consistent. I will say, like, the Cal game for Cam Ward is the ultimate. Watch that game. After the first half, you'll be convinced he will never sniff an NFL field, and then after, like, the last couple drives, you're convinced he's the number one pick. You know, like, that's a, you know, that's a great encapsulation of him. But, yeah, I think, you know, it is really interesting that you had that experience, and then you had the Bergonzi, you know, draft where they're like, yeah, heck no, let's go make a trade for Alex Smith, and then just figure it out, and eventually they got Mahomes. I mean, I think that part of it is like, that's a little bit of a pipe dream, like, good for them, but like, that can't be necessarily your plan, you know?
Yeah.
Like, you just don't know. You don't know when you're going to get an opportunity. You might get it the next year. You might get it never. But they did make themselves solid. And in that draft that they disavowed, Geno Smith was one of the top two quarterbacks. He's turned out to be pretty freaking good, you know, but not Patrick Mahomes good, you know. So I think that's a potentially instructive moment in terms of what these guys are going to do. But again, I don't know that look, we already are hearing the kind of predictable Titans are, you know, like have really enjoyed Cam Ward, or yep, they like Cam Ward more than us. I think that was going to come out either way. Maybe, but doesn't mean it's not true. Doesn't mean it's not going to happen. Maybe they are talking themselves into Cam Ward at number one.
That could be. You know, one of the interesting things Borgonzi talks about in this piece is, you know, the rare athletic traits. And he was talking about Eric Fisher, like he had those athletic traits, and they thought he'd turn into being the top tackle in the draft. This was the quote he gave Albert Breer. Quote, when you're taking a guy that high, they got to have rare physical traits. For every player that you're looking at, and I don't want to go too far into the quarterbacks, but obviously with Abdul Carter, it's the get off, the bend, and with Travis Hunter, it's the rare instincts and ball skills. There's a rare quality about each one of these players, is what Borgonzi said. So, I mean, he's sitting there like not wanting to necessarily talk about the quarterbacks all that much in that answer, but had no problem naming Abdul Carter and Travis Hunter. And look, Joe, I think it's pretty obvious. This is not some hot take by anybody. If the Titans are sticking and picking at number one, it's probably going to be one of the two quarterbacks or Abdul Carter and Travis Hunter. That's what it's going to end up being, would be my guess.
Right. I mean, right. And then, of course, they've got all four of those guys in this week to make sure that they've gone through as much as they could before free agency starts. So, and again, I think that's smart. I think that makes sense. And so they are, look, good for the Titans for being the worst team in the NFL. You know, because I mean, otherwise, like it'd be way less interesting right now.
I agree.
They hold the cards.
They do. We'll have more on the NFL draft, more reaction to an interesting piece from Albert Breer from SI.com coming up next. Some of your thoughts to get to on our text line as well. We'll do that. Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5, 106.3, the game. Welcome back in. Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5, 106.3, the game. Taking your thoughts on our phone and text lines driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, 615-737-1025. Is our phone number, 615-737-1025. Robbie and Rex Road brought to you by First Horizon, big bank muscle, small bank hustle. Visit firsthorizon.com/get it all. Ed on the text line says, doesn't the idea that the Titans are entertaining offers for the number one pick indicate a lack of conviction? If you had zero doubt, then why would you entertain offers? No offer would sway you if you're totally convinced that you have your guy. It's from Ed on the text line. Joe, what do you think of that?
First of all, who says they have zero doubt? I mean, why are they doing these visits? You know, I mean, and also, even if you did know, you would entertain offers as a GM, right? I mean, you like
pick up the phone, for sure.
Yeah. Now, Borgonzi said in the Breer piece that, you know, they've basically told teams, you know, we're definitely not going to make any deals until, you know, until like we're through our process, until we have all the information.
Which makes
sense.
So
we can
talk.
I like that. Yeah, yeah. So we can talk. You can, you know, we can go back and forth or whatever. But there's not going to be any serious negotiating until we have all the information. Yeah, I don't think that, all the information we have, all these teams have way more than we do. But based on what we have, would you have a complete conviction on anything? I wouldn't. You know, it's hard, and it's very possible. You know, you draft one of these quarterbacks and you suffer for it, and it's just another example of a QB needy team reaching for a quarterback when it should have taken just the best player. And then, or you pass on the quarterback, and then Shedeur Sanders becomes an 8-time All-Pro. I mean, I'm getting every shred of information I can. The most important information is the film, but look, these interviews are very important. I think that piece from Breer illustrated it. You know, someone comes in and blows a room away, and everybody's just enchanted on top of the film that says this is the number one pick. There you go. Now you have conviction, but it takes like extreme things for that to happen by this point.
Well, and I said it yesterday. Like, I also think this is the time of year when you have to be like real careful of what information is out there and what information is real in your process. Like, for instance, like Todd McShay on his show that he now does, which I don't really know where his show is, but I see it stumble across my TikTok from now every now and then, Joe. So I saw it yesterday, and he was on, I guess it's the McShay show, and he was talking about Shedeur Sanders, and he was like, a couple people have told him that when he was meeting with their organization, he didn't seem all that interested in what the organization thought of him, was the way that McShay phrased it. He's like, yeah, he didn't really seem to really care the organization's opinion on him, and he came off a little bit cocky, was the word that McShay used there. So I don't know. Is that true? Does that matter? Is that somebody posturing and making stuff up to affect the draft process this time of year? That's when you get so deep into the mud this time of year that by the end of it, by the time the draft rolls around, Joe, it's hard to know what's real and what's not.
Yeah, I mean, it could be misinformation, but, you know, I know that, like, Josina Anderson put out something about a QB coach who really didn't like Shedeur. I mean, I can see Shedeur, you know, coming off cocky and rubbing some people the wrong way. So, but you're right. It could be, like, again, the, you know, like the Levis stuff that some people on our station totally took hook, line, and sinker and bought as gospel. A lot of it was just total BS, you know? And I mean, I still don't even really, like, again, I remember during that, after the Titans drafted him, talking to, Matt Hasselbeck, and he's like, I mean, I guess like he's so intense and so into all this that rubs some teams right. But again, like that's the problem,
right?
You know? Yeah. So it does feel like, I mean, there's always a possibility for misinformation. I do feel like there's some legitimacy when you have multiple people saying that stuff, that he probably bothered some people, which isn't good for him because he's already not as talented as Cam Ward. But it also feels like there's more like excitement about Cam Ward's interviews. You know, it's kind
did he
of,
bother
it's
the
kind
Titans?
Of,
did were the Titans?
I don't know.
Secretly, kind of upset that Deion called in the middle of their first meeting.
Deion insisted on FaceTiming in the middle of it. Yeah, put me on the big screen over there. Well, you know, the thing is, I mean, I guess if the Titans were bothered, why bother having him in Sunday, you know?
Right.
So I'm sure it's, you know, it's different experiences for different teams and different personalities in those rooms, you know? Different personalities on the coaching and personnel side, too. That, but obviously you want to be a prospect that just universally is beloved after you go into all those rooms, you know, and that's with these quarterbacks, I feel like it's more important just because there are serious flaws in their games.
How about this one on the text line? Got one that says, we all know Will Levis has an arm. Is it possible he could train with a good coach during the offseason and become a legitimate starting quarterback? Joe, I don't know the answer to that. I don't know if it is possible that he could train with a good quarterback coach, and apparently he's going out to California and he's working for a couple of months here to really improve his game, and Brian Callahan talked about that earlier in the season. My initial response to that, Joe, is he could go out there and come to training camp and look like the second coming of Peyton Manning, and I still don't think you can start Will Levis as a quarterback next year if you're the Titans.
Yeah, other than it's like you drafted someone and he's still here, and then it's like, okay, so then fine, have a competition, and right now the rookie isn't ready. If that's the case, then okay, then, you know. But as far as let's pin our hopes on Will Levis, yeah, I think that's a hard sell right now, and I don't see how it wouldn't be for most people who watched him play last year. Trevor says, sounds like Sanders is interviewing badly with teams he has no interest in and interviewing well with teams he wouldn't mind playing for. That'd be interesting. I would not advise that strategy.
Just go in there and just tank it for the Browns. Like, no. I am not going to Cleveland. I kind of like that.
Armpit fart. The Browns are talking to you. You're just doing armpit farts. Hey, you guys, can you guys put some TV on for me?
I guess I kind of don't hate that strategy. Like, you're going in to interview with the Jets. You're like, hey, Woody. You just wait until you see how bad my Madden rating is. You want no part of this, buddy. No the part Jets, of it.
It's like Step Brothers. He puts on the tuxedo for the Jets interview. Oh, man. I'd be your best interview self for any of these interviews. Because, again, you know, yes, there's misinformation. But, look, I do think that Levis rubbed some teams wrong. I think there was some legitimacy to that, you know. And usually it's hard to dismiss everything that's out there, right? Like
Levis usually, ate all the sun chips. He ate all the sun chips.
You know, it's like things can get exaggerated. Again, I think the Levis thing was a good example of that for sure. But, I mean, I think Levis was full intensity for all of his interviews. I believe that.
How about this one from Colts Matt in Springfield, which, welcome to the program, Colts Matt. I kind of like, we have a growing number of Colts fans on the text line. It says, nice. Don't sleep on the Colts bringing in Darnold. It makes a lot of sense. I don't necessarily dismiss that out of hand, Joe. Like, I realize they drafted Anthony Richardson, and, you know, it's been poor to this point. We talked about that a couple of weeks ago. Like, I'm looking at Steichen, and I'm looking at Ballard. And conventional wisdom tells me they better win this year if they want to keep their jobs. Whether or not that's true, I have no idea because Jim Irsay is a strange cat. But I do wonder, like, could Indianapolis sneak up and do something unexpected this offseason at the quarterback position?
Yeah, that would surprise me a little bit. But, I mean, if they did that, that to me says, okay, the Anthony Richardson thing is close to ending.
Yeah.
Because Darnold's going to beat him out. I mean, the way Darnold played last year, yes, good conditions. No, you can't dismiss what he did still as a quarterback. I mean, he would win the job, you know? So, I guess, I mean, I don't know what the heck they're doing. I mean, I guess I would, if I'm a Colts fan, I'd rather hear an actual good quarterback who can start. I'd rather have that than let's bring in another, like, mid QB to compete with him, right? But Darnold's only signing with them. I mean, if you're Darnold in that situation, I'd be hesitant. You're only signing with them if they give you a good deal. Like, someone else out there is going to give you a good deal. So if they're giving him that deal, he's going there to be their starter. Now, that's it. To me, that's Anthony Richardson.
No doubt. Done. Well, but also, like, if you're signing him, if you're Indianapolis, I mean, that tells you that they're done with Anthony Richardson. I don't think they're going to go sign Sam Darnold. They are in an interesting spot to me in terms of, it's been so bad from Richardson, and I'm looking at their future as a coaching staff, as a general manager. Like, how long, what sort of a leash are you giving Anthony Richardson this year? Like, they already benched him once, and then they turned back to him. You just going to let him go the whole year next year? What if you get three games in and you realize he's not gotten a whole lot better, and maybe that's just what he is as a quarterback? You're just going to say, well, I guess we're getting fired at the end of the year. I don't know. They're just in a weird spot right now.
Yeah, to me, that's a clear signal of we will get fired if we go anymore with this guy, so let's give this one a shot because this guy could actually, and this offense could actually win for us. That'd be tough for the Titans to lose him to the dreaded, hated Colts.
It would. You could always pivot to Mac Jones. Mac Jones going to be out there.
Or Daniel, either Jones.
Or got a couple options with the Joneses out there. 615-737-1025. Our phone number, 615-737-1025. Another news item yesterday in the NFL on the tag front, which I don't think has made this player very happy. We'll get into that coming up next. Also, it's time for Preds Pick to Click. Be the first caller at 615-737-1025. Our phone number. If you guess the goal score for the Predators in their game tonight against Boston, you win a pair of tickets to a future Nashville Predators home game. We'll do all that coming up next. Robbie and Rex Road, 1025, 1063 the game. Preds Pick to Click here on Robbie and Rex Road. Preds in action tonight, taking on the Boston Bruins in game number 3 of their 3-game road trip. Putt drop at 6 o'clock. I'll have your pregame at 5 o'clock tonight. Rex Road extending his lead last time out in the competition. He nailed it with Philip Forsberg against Winnipeg. So Joe has 12 correct answers. The listeners have 8. I have 7. Keza remains at 4 in the competition. With that in mind, we head to our 1025 The Game phone line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. And welcome in Adam in Portland as a participant in Preds Pick to Click today. Adam, good morning. Thank you for calling in. Who is your pick to click?
What's up, dude? Let's go Stammer. He can only be cold for so long. Now, I do like Joe, he said a couple of times previously that he hopes nobody hits, and I feel like that could actually happen, but I will go Stamkos just for the fun of it.
Going with Steven Stamkos. Adam, thank you for the call.
Yeah, bud.
Stamkos off the board. I'll go Forsberg. I don't feel great about any option right now. They can't score, and Forsberg basically said that the other night, but I'll go Forsberg. So Stamkos, Forsberg off the board. Keezer, your pick to click for the Nashville Predators.
I'll go with Luke Evangelista.
I like it. Luke Evangelista. Stamkos, Forsberg, Evangelista off the board. Rex Road, your pick to click for the Predators.
Unpaid contributors to the station are allowed to be in this competition? I did not know.
Apparently so. DJ Burnside will be next.
Yeah. I'll go Ryan O'Reilly.
Ryan O'Reilly, this selection. Stamkos, Forsberg, Evangelista, O'Reilly. Preds in action tonight, taking on the Boston Bruins. By the way, if you're on like tank watch out there, last night, pretty good result for the Predators. The Blackhawks win last night. Sabres end up with a point last night, which extends their lead ahead of you to 5. The Sharks won last night, so everything's going well out there for the Nashville Predators on that front from the results last night. Joe, an interesting development in the NFL that, again, not unexpected, but now looks like it's officially happening. T. Higgins getting the franchise tag in Cincinnati for the second consecutive year. Now, look, we talked about the tag earlier with Darnold. I will say this. I'm not a huge fan of somebody being tagged 2 years in a row. Not a huge fan of that. Hopefully the NFLPA will address that next time around, but I don't really love that. But apparently that's happening with T. Higgins here, and the intent remains for Cincinnati to work out a long-term deal with him. We'll see whether or not they're able to get that done. By the way, they need to work out a long-term deal with Ja'Marr Chase as well, so a busy offseason for Cincinnati coming up here. What do you make of the official news that T. Higgins will be franchise tagged for the second consecutive year?
Yeah. Not a big fan. Like I said earlier, you know, the Washington football team did that with Kirk Cousins 2 years in a row, and you know, kind of that different situation, but hated that then. And you know, the Bengals, of course, notoriously cheap as an organization. But Joe Burrow's been out there basically like, man, you guys better get these people signed. You know, they got. It's an interesting, you know, if you're the Bengals, it's like, wow, we had these people and look at what we did last year. But where are you going to go? How much are you going to waste Joe Burrow's tenure if you don't, if you don't pay your best players? So I guess they'll figure it out. But this is to have all these guys and the deals you're going to have is definitely a different kind of deal for the Bengals.
I still wonder if this is the right move. I really do. Like, I get it. T. Higgins, in terms of number two wide receivers, I think is a really good player. Obviously, he's really important to what they do. But they've got to sign him. They've got to sign Ja'Marr Chase. And they got to sign Trey Hendrickson, too. And are they going to be able to pull all of that off? You know, Paul Daner, friend of the show, who covers the Bengals for The Athletic, wrote a piece about this the other day, just about how difficult this could be and how much skepticism is there around the league that they're going to be able to pull this off, getting all three done. Like, if you franchise tag T. Higgins, but it ends up costing you Trey Hendrickson, like, is that really worth it if you're the Bengals? Like, I think Ja'Marr Chase is a non-negotiable, right? Like, you have to pay Ja'Marr Chase. You got to find a way to get a deal done with him. I think we all know that. Like, if you tag T. Higgins and you're either unwilling or unable to go sign Hendrickson to a long-term deal after that, like, is it really worth signing or tagging T. Higgins at that point? Like, if I had to pick two of the three that I would want to keep, Higgins would be the odd man out if I were the Bengals.
Look, for sure. No, I absolutely agree. He's clearly the last priority. Yeah, it's that fascinating question of how much is, if at all, is his value inflated by playing with Chase, playing with Burrow, and then, yeah, the health thing is definitely something you got. That's the thing. Like, so if I'm the Bengals, you know, I wouldn't necessarily hate just having him play on the tag. But obviously that's probably like relationship ending for him in the organization, right? Like, I mean, it, like, that would be, it could be bad. It could be bad next year if they don't figure it out. Is it possible that it's just, they're just never going to come together on what the term should be, and then they look to trade him?
Maybe. I mean, that could end up happening. I just, you know, they're so, you said it, they're notoriously cheap. There's a lot of skepticism around the league if they're going to be able to pull this off with all three of them. And again, let's say they do. Okay. Are they still a Super Bowl threat? Like, we always include them in that category because they've got Burrow, right? And they've got Chase, and they've got these guys. And yet, they made the Super Bowl a few years ago. They were in the AFC title game the year after that, and now they've missed the playoffs 2 years in a row. I realize that injuries have been part of that, but injuries weren't a huge problem for them last year, Joe. They just had a horrific defense, and they wasted an MVP quality season from Joe Burrow. So is that going to be different next year? Like, I just they're in a really weird spot right now with this group.
Right. They're deep. You know, you fire, I mean, you know, Lou Anarumo was one of the most celebrated D coordinators in the league not long ago. He's out. And yet, I mean, you look at their defense and they just have holes all over the place. So how much can you improve that in a year, in an off season? And can you improve it enough to where, like, I guess, can you get to decent so that you hope that your offense is just absolutely unbelievable? I mean, like you said, Burrow, especially second half of the year, I mean, his numbers were incredible, but they also had to be.
Yeah.
You know, in the games that they were in. So, I mean, look, if you're the Bengals, you have to me, you have star players, and you have players who have gotten to the Super Bowl. So you have to, like, you have to invest in that. But, you know, like, they could be one of those teams that has a huge comeback next year. You get it off to an early, you know, good start, and you could see how it could work out. But they have a lot of work to do.
Coming up next, we'll be joined by Mike Wilson from the Knoxville News Sentinel. We'll get his thoughts on Tennessee's huge win against Alabama over the weekend, what that can mean for the Vols looking ahead to the SEC and NCAA tournaments. That's coming up next. Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5, 106.3, The Game.
How to have fun anytime, anywhere. Step one, go to ChumbaCasino.com.
ChumbaCasino.com. Got it.
Step two, collect your welcome bonus.
Come to Papa, welcome bonus.
Step three, play hundreds of casino-style games for free.
That's a lot of games, all for free.
Step four, unleash your excitement.
Chumba. Chumba Casino has been delivering thrills for over a decade. So claim your free welcome bonus now and live the Chumba life. Visit ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus terms and conditions apply.